Hey.
Wait, what? What did you just say, man?
Whoa, chaos. We're live, right for that. Good timing. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 9 of Podcast Lost in Space.
Getting very deeply sexual with this one, apparently.
What? Ryan's stuff didn't make the cut.
Ryan said?
No, it didn't make the cut.
Oh, but we're going to talk about it. I want to know.
Apparently something happened right before we went live.
It isn't as exciting as it sounds.
But yes, welcome. We missed last week because I was asleep, Seneca was driving, and Alyssa was sick.
And I was lazy.
And Doc was lazy.
I was watching football.
So instead, you get us this week. And woo! Alyssa's off doing cult things with her sorority.
Not a cult.
It's a cult.
It's not.
It's definitely a cult. Sororities are equivalent to cults. I think fraternities are also cults. Like, it's just a bunch of rules that serve some sort of higher power that you don't really even care about. It's just, like, bizarre rituals, and in the end, it's all bullshit anyway. So, yep. Cults, sororities, frats, all the same thing.
Anyways!
Ryan, would you like to respond?
Well, I would say the larger fraternities and sororities, yes. We, being in a local fraternity, we made up all our own rules and just kind of went as we, like, made up shit as we went along. We didn't have, like, nationals or...
You were one of those small-time cults, not the big-time cults.
Yeah.
It was basically a club that had...
It was a cult startup.
All right, we're getting started nice and well here. All right, what did Ryan say, Doc?
He said that he got sexually assaulted or molested.
Oh, right. I remember this.
Before.
Wait, why? What?
And he got so casual about it.
It really isn't that exciting.
Ryan's just so used
share
to just
with
being
the class.
Sexually groped.
He just got out of college.
Yeah, I mean.
What happened is I have some friends down here that I met like through like watching soccer.
You don't have friends.
Alexander!
Boom, 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 boom.
And the head guy of the group, like the guy that like founded this like SoCal Sound, as they call himself, he's gay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. His boyfriend's nice. He's cool, and he lives down the street from a gay bar. So that's kind of become the home base for us watching games. Like no big deal.
Okay.
So last week was the Sounders versus FC Dallas playoff game, which we fucking lost, which I'm still fucking upset about.
You were saying mean things on Twitter.
Fuck the state of Texas.
Alexander, let him tell his story.
And to be fair, what else are you supposed to use Twitter for?
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Ryan, talk. You don't talk enough.
So, as me and my buddy who lives down the street from me, he was coming over to my apartment to move up my TV stand so I could actually, like, trying to make this empty space into an apartment. Okay. And so we're waiting. I ordered an Uber. Like, I was just, like, as a thank you, I just picked up, like, the Uber tab. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting. And this, like, group of three gay guys come up, and they're starting to talk to us. And we're wearing, like, Sounders jersey and, like, no big deal. And they're just talking to us and asking us about our jersey because apparently in San Diego, Sounders jerseys are the most interesting thing. This is not the first time I've been questioned about my jersey.
Okay.
And so, like, one of them, like, is talking to my friend David, and I'm talking to the other two. And as they're leaving... The dude that was talking to Dave just comes up and fucking just gives me a kiss and walks off. So not only did my team fucking lose and get eliminated from the playoffs, I fucking got sexually assaulted. And
I thought a chick did it.
No, it was a dude.
No, he wouldn't call it sexual assault if it was a chick. He would.
He still probably would, actually.
I was just pissed that like someone just fucking came up to me and kissed me. I have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting them to know that. But that's just not something you do. Like, boy or girl, I would have been pissed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine about this because Eric brought up the fact that someone was arrested for, like, twerking on strangers in New York.
Oh, that story.
Yeah, so, like, that happened. And then Kalis was hanging out with us. He's like, yeah, there's a quote that I'd like to say. It's like, unsolicited sexual advances are always creepy, gender or not. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's like... unsolicited sexual contact is just, it's not okay. It's like you're violating people's personal space. It's a connection that you're just not invited to. And yeah, a lot of people, that's how we get creepers and weird people. And it applies to all genders. Like, it's not to one towards the other. Granted, it's more frequent to men, but women can do it, too.
Formed like, by men, yeah.
I didn't do anything about it, because what am I supposed to do? Shove them? How is that supposed to look? A straight male is shoving a homosexual guy. How is that supposed to look, too? So I just fucking, he just walked off, and I was just...
I go with my favorite tactic of verbal abuse.
So...
Sunny, go.
Oh, okay, so to preface this, I actually volunteer at a domestic abuse and sexual assault services, like, non-profit where I live.
Now this is going to get very sad.
Like, I'm actually kind of, like, sitting here and holding back, like, all the stuff that I would normally say to clients. And the biggest thing, and we actually already brought up the point of, like, well, how would you feel if a girl did this? And I love the fact, Ryan, by the way, that you're like, I don't want it. No.
You would have been pissed.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's honestly like the biggest thing that people don't realize. It doesn't matter the gender. It doesn't matter your sexual preferences. Like, movies portray it as potentially romantic, and I'm talking very generally here, and it's always creepy. Like, it's always creepy. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
100% agree.
And, like, I mean, I'm also going to admit, like, part of my first instinct, like, after the whole, like, training that I have was... Was it on the, like, was it just lips or was it tongue? And then I, you know, then, like, the other voice in my head is like, that doesn't fucking matter. Like, it doesn't matter. It's unsolicited.
Yeah.
It's like,
It was, like, here. So, like, not on the lips, not on the cheek, and it was just too close.
Like, either way, yeah. That's, like, an invasion of your personal space. Like, I, myself, have a specific bubble, and there's certain people where it's, like, if I know them and, like, I think they're great, it's, like, that's, those are the people that I give hugs whenever they're leaving, or, like, good old high fives. But it's, like, I've had people that I've worked with, and I'll be sitting at a desk, then they'll come up and just grab my shoulders and say, hey, man, how's it going? And I was, like, I know you're trying to be nice, but that's still, like, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't think that's a cool thing when I'm, like, in my own zone, and then you just grab me and kind of shake me a little. I know you're doing it in good spirits, but that's an invasion of my, just my little bubble, and it's a personal thing. So I don't hit him right away.
Yeah.
Like, but if he does it again, then I can hit him, right? That's what we're saying?
But everybody's
you almost agreed, Seneca. You almost just agreed.
Okay, Well, but here's my thing, and I'm agreeing that, like, it's uncomfortable and something should be done. I don't think that punching is the answer.
Why not?
Okay, so I'm okay with being hugged by strangers just because of, like, my high school experiences and, like, playing cards with you guys, Doc. Like, there was a lot of, like, physical huggage going on with strangers.
Yeah. Are you saying we were strangers?
Well, but, okay, I got picked up in a freaking chair and crying multiple times.
Yeah, that's true,
though. Yeah, that is very true.
But I also I can't deal with people playing with my hair. Like, even close friends, unless I explicitly give permission, I'm very, like, I don't care if you touch my hair without me saying it's okay. It's not okay. Don't do it.
Touchy.
Because for me, that's just not okay. But hugging, like, I mean, hugging is okay for most people with me. So it differs with people, and I don't think that shoving or pushing or punching or whatever is really the appropriate response, but I don't think that nothing should be said also, because, like, how else do people learn?
And that's difference between shoving them away from you and shoving them, like, you know, the fuck that, as opposed to, like, dude, you know.
Yeah, as, like, blocking it and doing all that, yeah.
Well, and that's what I mean by, like, when I say the shoving, pushing, and punching, because it's the more, like, abrasive, like, get the fuck away from me, versus the, like, no thanks. I appreciate that, like, what you're trying to show me, but this isn't the best way to show me that form of affection that you apparently need to show me.
Yeah, that's where, in Ryan's instance, like, if something like that were to happen to me, like, and based on, like, what happened, it's like, he goes up, kisses him, event's already over, so it's like, you have no reason to, like, actually physically shove him or do anything like that. So, like, Ryan even knew, it's like, yeah, I can't shove him, I can't do anything. It's like, he's done, he's walking away. But that's where, it's like, my personal response, if I were in that situation, I would probably shout out, like, hey, fuck you. Like, because that's just saying something. It's like, dude, why are you doing that? That's awful.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't just be kissing strangers.
Yeah, But then also, because like Ryan, you said it was kind of like here, and for those who can't see us, by the way, I'm gesturing to like the midpoint between cheek and lip. But like also in some cultures, that's normal. I just want to put that out there, and I'm not trying to say that as an excuse. And you should always be like, hey, no thanks. But
So if this one San Diego gay man is listening, you're a dick. Just saying.
No. Specific. No, thank you.
Or you were drunk.
And
that's
like
no
that
excuse.
Doesn't excuse you, but it makes it.
Alcohol is no excuse. No.
Hey, Ryan, how are you dressing? Were you asking for it?
Fight.
I say that because I know it's an awful thing. I'm making light of how it's a hot,
I know,
a horrible thing.
But, okay.
And I love seeing you get flustered. It's so fun for me.
It is. It is a
where
very.
Where is my kitty pillow?
Exactly. It's like I'm in a cage with like a rabid bear, and I'm just poking it with a stick and riding its back and having fun.
All right.
And like
I get, God, I will maul your face, Doc.
Let Ryan talk.
And like I get, I was walking out of a gay bar, and like I know when I go there, like I've been looked up and down before, and that's like whatever. I don't really care, like about that.
No excuse, no matter what.
That's still
like
no excuse.
Environment that I like voluntarily like put myself in. That's fine. But you look like you have something to say.
Oh yes, I do. It doesn't matter what environment you're in, though. Like, that's not okay.
I mean, if you want to flip it, it's the girl. It's you doing that to a girl at a bar. You know, it's sexual assault one way or the other.
Because like that's actually like somebody going to a BDSM club, honestly, and people like smacking them with, you know, little whatevers.
We're comparing this to BDSM clubs.
I was gonna say that's not fair to the BDSM community. No, I'm not doing it as something wrong to the BDSM community. I'm actually using that example because in the BDSM community, consent
because
is
you're,
so
you're an avid member, right? You're
but
an avid member
so
of this
important.
Community.
It's true.
It
it's
is.
Important. Consent is like you have to have consent. There are like strict protocols, and if you don't follow that in that community, like you get like socially.
It's why 50 Shades of Grey was one of the worst films to come out.
But like I'm using that example because nobody should be kissing anybody between the cheek. Like you shouldn't be kissing or hugging people really in general unless you have explicit consent. And that's why I'm using that example. I'm not, for anybody who's part of the BDSM community, I'm not trying to say anything negative about that.
I was gonna say you're a member of this community, right? You have
totes.
Is there a card? Is there like is it like a Costco membership?
It's like special... Fight Club. We can't talk about it in public.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I totally get that.
But yeah, that's how my week was last week. As we're doing weekly roundups, last week was shitty. My team got eliminated from the playoffs, and I got sexually assaulted. So that was really shitty.
All right.
That's awful.
Doc, how was your week last week?
It was pretty good. Like it kind of pales in comparison to Ryan's now. It's just like, you know, I played like Fallout, and then no one was interested in me sexually. So yeah, that's how it goes when I play video games. Like it's not my best moments. I'm sitting there, I have a very intense look on my face. Most of the time I'm wearing Gears of War pajama pants.
You wear pants?
I need to get myself some Gears of War pajama pants.
Oh, they are cozy. They are cozy. And yeah, so I had a lot of work to do this week, and I told myself I wasn't going to buy Fallout 4, and for those of you who don't know, it's a very big deal out of the fact that it's a giant open world game. It's a post-apocalyptic world, and you can just do anything you want. So that entices a lot of gamers. I watched Conan's Clueless Gamer video of Fallout 4, and the marketing they did on that works, because after that, I was like, I'm buying it. I'm going to pre-download it and play it this week. So I did like a 12-hour day of work, 10-hour day of work, and then a 9-hour day of work, and I did all my work early and got a bunch of free time on Friday to play extra. I looked at how much time I logged. I think I've logged 24 hours this week of gaming.
I know
it's weak for like standard gamers, but for me that is like so ridiculously high. Yeah, like, I used to log, like, tons of hours back in the day of, like, freshman year of college, sophomore year, because, like, all I did was just game and study and do all that. And now, it's like, I usually average probably, I don't know, 4 to 4 hours a week of gaming. And so to just bump that up to 24, it's nuts. Oh, nice. Man, I lose myself in that game so much. And I just can't stop. It's literally, like, gamer addiction.
We'll let you have a gaming podcast later.
Oh, yeah.
We will
have a discussion.
The only reason I make fun of you for that is because when Mass Effect 3 came out, I burst a blood vessel in my eye playing it in about 35 hours during finals week. But that's also, talking about playing games too much, a fairly good segue for what we did last weekend and why we didn't have a podcast. We did Extra Life. Docked and donated. We raised $121. Thank you for the dollar,
I was there for I was there in spirit, which is another way of saying that I didn't do anything at all.
Yep. But yeah, we did that last weekend. Mm-hmm. We started at 10 a.m. Saturday, and I ended at 10 a.m. Sunday.
No, we started at 9:54.
I ended at 10 a.m. Saturday.
You got 6 extra minutes. You went the extra mile.
Yep.
No one else did that.
I would also like to point out, my donation is always consistent.
Yes, you've given me a dollar for the last 2 years in a row.
It's a very reliable, consistent donation.
My friends who ended up donating actually ended up texting me, by the way, like after I got home. They're like, "You left. I donated." I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah, for anybody who donated and actually listens to this as well, thank you so much.
Seriously.
It wasn't, we didn't, you know, raise the, what is it, $200,000, $400,000 that Rooster Teeth raises or anything, but anything, we gave money to children.
Well, we're a young company.
Or, yeah, we're also not Rooster Teeth.
We're also destined for fame.
We also just started. Just saying.
We're in talks and negotiation to absorb a Rooster Teeth. We'll let the lawyers figure that one out. So yeah, like we're on our way. So confidence, yeah, like we're just building that up.
No, but seriously, that was, I'm not gonna say it was fun, because it was fun until about 3 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's when I got off.
You also got to take a break though, because so Alexander left me almost alone.
Really? Are you gonna say that Taylor and Michelle don't count as people?
No, but okay. So I want to note it, by the way, like probably like 30 to 15 minutes before Alexander is supposed to get ready and leave, Taylor is like, "I want to go upstairs and play Monster Hunter." And I'm like, "There's no one else here. What do I do?"
You play video games.
I don't know how to amuse the masses by myself.
Seneca, this is where you like make human contact with people.
No,
and
I do that. I just don't know how to do it via online. I've never been on Twitch before.
Yeah. You did well, and when I was able to check in on you guys, you guys did pretty good.
We had fun.
You guys definitely looked like you had fun. Though Seneca, your food, which went up, gave me what we're blaming your potato stew for giving me what we think is like a gallbladder attack or something.
Oh
well,
I'm pretty celiacs.
Yeah. So apparently, starting as of Tuesday of this week,
he is now a gluten-free asshole.
Sort of.
Oh,
I cannot eat bagels, donuts, hockey sticks.
Wait, what? Wait, why are you eating hockey sticks?
Hockey.
P-O-C-K-Y.
The little, like,
how else? Yeah, like the game in Canada.
Yes,
hockey,
exactly.
Yeah.
As soon as Doc opened his mouth, I knew he was going to say hockey sticks.
Yeah, it's like, of course.
But, like, those are the big things that I've been noticing. And what happens is, if I eat it, my throat gets tight, and I was up at, like, 4 a.m. Not, like, super tight, but it starts feeling like my throat's, like, a little warm and swollen. And on Tuesday, I was up at 4 a.m. trying to puke, and I couldn't puke. And that, like, ruined my Wednesday, because I was sleep-deprived and everything else. And so I magically managed to pick up some kind of weird gluten intolerance, despite the fact that I've been eating noodles just fine. And
that's not my fault. That's your body's fault.
But we're blaming Seneca's food for it for now. And yes, I'm going to a doctor. No, I'm not looking up anything on WebMD because I know it's cancer. It's WebMD, it's cancer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of ruined my week. Although I did realize, because I'd never thought about it before, I can still eat potatoes and anything with rice, so I can eat like an Irish Japanese person and be fine.
My dish was potatoes!
But it had bacon fat. That's what
okay,
my mom
that's
blames.
Bacon fat.
It's that's not... what my mom blames. I don't believe her, but we're blaming you anyway.
Bacon fat. That's my favorite drink.
It's delicious. Instantly.
You should make her potatoes thing. Her potato soup. I keep wanting to call it a stew.
I don't know what it is. All I know is that I like it.
It was yummy. It may so kill me, is. But it was yummy.
So yeah,
we did that.
Last night, Eric, speaking of food and cooking, and this might be a recipe that we should probably do for the site, but he essentially made a macaroni inception kind of thing, where it was these giant shell noodles with macaroni
and
cheese.
Oh, he made an inception! I've seen that online!
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, so you take macaroni and cheese, put it in the giant cell, and then you melt cheese on top of that, so it's mac and cheese within mac and cheese. And it tastes like mac and cheese. No, like if God was real, and it's like you're making out with God, and it's so.
Get us the recipe. We'll go. That'll go up not next week, but the week after.
It's like getting an unwanted sexual advance from God.
Oh, I went back there.
Facepalm, Seneca. Facepalm.
Anyway.
You have, like, three recipes up on the website. How have you not made any of them?
Because I was in a hurry. I was driving in traffic, and I knew this podcast was waiting for me.
You've had all week!
Okay, stop poking him. He's not used to cooking all the time.
He should be.
He's learning!
Too much
work.
Hey,
he's learning. He's learning slowly. Just
exactly.
I've been eating a lot of quesadillas.
Yeah, I did a lot of that in Calgary, too.
All right, do we have a specific topic that we're going down this
week? I haven't done my week yet!
Yeah, we've been... Well, no one cares, so... Sorry. That was...
All right, Seneca, go ahead.
I'm ignoring you, Doc. You're mean.
So her week ended with the loss of a friendship.
What friendship?
Oh!
I was going to say... Oh, okay.
I find it funny that Alexander's drinking tea and just drinking beer.
Anyways, I've been super busy because I did the Extra Life and I actually drove down to where Alexander lives to do this whole event. And then I had a guest for 3 days who has actually been on the podcast before. And I was working at the same time. And then this weekend, I went to my great-grandmother's birthday. Yes, great-grandmother. She turned 102. And my very sweet significant other, Brian, had this amazing idea last year to get the president to send her a birthday card. Now, we filled out the stuff, and it takes months to fill out ahead of schedule and yada, yada, yada. And we were kind of sitting there and going, I hope it gets there in time. I hope it actually, you know, I hope they actually process it and do this. Not only did she get the card, and it was signed by Michelle Obama, and specifically from Michelle Obama, but it was also signed by Barack Obama. And this was kind of a, like, and it was specifically for her. Like, we wrote up a little, like, this was her life, and they actually wrote, like, you know, about her life a bit. I don't know. Even if it was an intern, I don't care. I'm very happy. But it was kind of like a shot in the dark, because I didn't know my great-grandmother's political affiliations. I was kind of just like, I hope this works. I hope it pans out. But she used to be a teacher, so I was kind of, you know, I feel like it'll work. She loved it. She's Democratic. Yay. Woo! I'm very happy.
President.
Yeah. And so she wants the next president's signature, too, now. Of course.
Of course, you know, because well, once wasn't enough. What is that noise?
Well, like, yeah, depending on who gets, like, elected, and if it's someone that she likes, you still have 4 years to get it, too.
Well, she's 102.
She's 102.
Hey, I'm confident in her, okay?
Oh, I would bet on her. Dude, she's not even in a wheelchair.
Jesus.
She can hear, she's kind of like a normal 80-year-old, honestly.
Gotcha.
So, Seneca, is your family vampires?
Yeah.
that would explain some things.
we can ask her to write an article about what it was like to be in the 40s.
Anyway, let's move on.
You think it's mean, but it's true. She's 102.
No, she would probably love it.
You want the 30s.
My dad was born in the 50s.
She would probably love to do a write-up for us, but it would be about, I love you, Nana, if you're listening, I love you, but it's true. It would probably, like, we'd ask for, like, a page, and it'd be, like, 10 pages.
Do it!
Good.
We're going to do it, because I think that would be fascinating.
And it would all be handwritten in, like, her old-school cursive.
Cool, then you get to decipher it and type it up.
And then, like, inside of it, like, she'll segue, like, inside to have a fudge recipe, which we can then make another article.
Her cookie recipe. I would kill a werewolf for that.
I don't think she wants that shared on the internet.
Well,
but actually...
Well, no, she would have to put it on a site that gets traffic.
That's fair. We get traffic. We had comments. By the way, anybody
listening? Oh, we do?
I got comments working, like, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I forgot to bring it up in the last podcast. We have comments. We had people comment.
Send me all the ones that talk about how awesome I am.
There were none of those.
No, they were actually spread around the site. People were talking about on food, on recipe pages, and all that kind
of
stuff.
Boy, I can't wait to say how much of an idiot I am in my article.
Cool.
We'll talk about that next week after it goes up.
Exactly. Have they commented on the podcast at all?
Yeah, one of them did.
And what'd they say?
They loved it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And, you know, funny. My mom and dad
like it too. Thank you, loyal listener. I would name you, but too bad. I also saw Eugene Merman live on Thursday. A buddy of mine had an extra ticket, and he called me up. Eugene Merman is like he's the voice of Gene Belcher on Bob's Burgers.
Who?
Okay.
Alexander. No idea, because he is.
All right. Yeah, he doesn't know anything aside from games, apparently.
And books.
And books. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It was Caitlin was the one who commented on the.
Bob.
Oh, Caitlin. It might be my friend Caitlin. Oh. Hi, Caitlin. All right.
It's cool to see people commenting.
And yeah, that's
that I got comments working.
Hey, way to go, Alex.
All right, we're going to...
But Eugene Merman's hilarious. Everyone should look him up on YouTube, watch Bob's Burgers. He's super funny, super avant-garde, and very creative.
Cool.
I'll look him up because I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah.
We're going to segue off to something a little grim, but we need to talk about it because...
Yeah. So, Syria.
Well, a bit, kind of. Paris, Beirut, Baghdad, Japan, and Mexico. Mexico had, I believe it was another earthquake or a flooding. I don't remember which.
Oh, that's fine.
Japan had a tsunami warning. Mexico has something, a couple hundred dead, and I haven't seen a lot about the Mexican one, but yes, Friday the 13th was kind of a pisser day. It was kind of a pisser of a day.
Great segment of what I talked about. Continue.
No, I mean, that was that, and Paris was the big one that Americans learned about, but Beirut... in Lebanon and Baghdad both had their own major attacks.
Yeah.
Beirut had about 40 people killed, hundreds injured, and they stopped 2 of the 4 bombs that were supposed to go off. And Baghdad had a suicide bomber at I believe it was a funeral.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Okay. So, here. Since this is all very tragic... I would like to talk about how we as millennials are able to actually do something to kind of support this. That's not kind of just changing our Facebook profile picture.
Yeah.
Like doing something that's actual tangible change and isn't something of just saying, hey, look at me too. I know attention's going elsewhere, but remember, I'm here. Like, there's certain things that people do online that's just kind of really annoying and just I don't think does anything. So, like, how do we actually... help in situations like this.
It was a hurricane in Mexico.
Okay.
Oh, that was like last month.
Some of this news, it's interesting the way the news trickles out because like there were people we were learning about the university shooting in Kenya that happened in April.
Oh, that could be that.
Wow.
That could be exactly. That so close to Mexico. It was everywhere here.
But people all ignored this because they wanted to see reviews for Master of None, the new Aziz Ansari show on Netflix. So, like...
But, yeah, there is a lot to talk about, especially with what we can do as the generation that is so keyed into a lot of this. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest ones that got me, because this happened both with the tsunami in Japan a year ago, 2 years ago, not the one that knocked out the nuclear reactor, but another one, mm-hmm. where people started donating money to Japan, and Japan asked them to stop, because mm-hmm. they are one of the largest economies in the world. They are used to earthquakes and tsunamis.
Yeah.
They flat out said, we have the system in place. Go help the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Japan even has like amazing architecture in their buildings that are like designed to withstand earthquakes. Like they are prepped and good to go.
In France, people are starting, if you want to donate money to France, here's money to France. You know, here's, and to me, like, I get it. You want to help. You want to do something, and you want. You know, and one of the easiest ways to do it is to give money to an organization that will be able to physically help on the spot. Mm-hmm. But think about where your money is going. France is the sixth or seventh largest world economy. There is no way they're going to need the money after that attack. It's like people did donate for 9/11 from the rest of the world to America. But also, the French are a more socialist system. They are going to support everybody they can.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the big things is be smart about where your money goes. France doesn't need it, really. And it's heartless to say it's a horrible tragedy that happened in France.
Can I add something really quick?
Yeah.
So also, like we mentioned the whole thing that I'm hearing feedback.
Yeah, shouldn't I'm hearing be. That too.
But there's been a lot of Facebook posts about, like, pray for France, you know, my heart goes out to France. And I think that's great because, you know, like, it's good to know that we're supporting them. But then I've also seen a lot of, like, not quite lashback from France, but responses of, you know, like, thank you for your support, but we're fine. Like, we're more than just this tragedy. And that's a big thing to realize, too, that these communities are more than just these sad events that happen. And that doesn't mean that you should forget about them. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't say anything. But maybe approach it in a different way, because I feel like the way that us millennials reach out to these events a lot of times is maybe not the best way to do it.
Yeah. And that's not to say you're a bad person for changing your Facebook profile picture to France, you know, getting on that bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Especially since the way the information was spread, that there was something happening, moves most of the time. There's now a scientific term called the Twitter wave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an earthquake can happen. People will start tweeting about it at the epicenter. And within about a minute, it will get out fat. It will outpace the shockwave of the earthquake itself,
mm-hmm.
by fractions of a second. But it will actually move faster than the disaster can.
But that's still crazy.
That's amazing that people outside the earthquake can be like, earthquake, and then immediately feel it and be like, oh, earthquake. If they're on the right point in Twitter and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of good done there. But there was also a little bit of clogging of the, I don't know the hashtag, but it was basically, everybody was, hey, if you need help, go look at this hashtag if you're in Paris, because everybody's mm-hmm. talking on this one specific area.
Yeah.
And other people who were talking about it were using the hashtag, like, oh, hey, look what happened in Paris, it's crazy. And there was a lot of pushing about, like, stop using this one, stop using this, go talk somewhere else, because we need this to keep this clear.
It's actually interesting that you brought up the whole Twitter shockwave. Mm-hmm. Because I guess not 2 weeks ago, so last week when we didn't have a podcast, there was actually a shooter in downtown San Diego. I happened to be at work at the time, but I was just on Twitter because, fuck, I don't do work at work. I do a lot of work. My boss. But I was just on Twitter just, like, taking my, like, thought break from programming, and I saw Bankers Hill, which is just the neighborhood. I mean, it's a couple miles from me, but it was right by the airport. And there was a shooter, and they shut down the airport, and I heard about it through just trending hashtags in my area. So I actually, like, stopped work and was following this because, I mean, it wasn't super close to my apartment. If I was home, I wouldn't have felt nervous. but it was still close enough to, like, this is the first time this has ever really happened to me, just, like, shooting in some area that I'm familiar with, that, like, I was following, like, Twitter, because that was where I was getting all my updates from it. And they ended up, the guy surrendered, but they shut down the airport. All arriving flights were closed, because you could see, like, they were showing where the apartment he was held up in, and they would turn the camera around, and you could see the runway. For those of you who don't know, San Diego Airport is the largest city with a one-runway airport. There's takeoffs and landings happen on one runway, and it's actually, like, pretty amazing to watch, because, like, as I'm driving to work, I drive by it, and, like, as one's taking off, like, another one's coming in. And it's pretty cool, but, like, that's a big deal if someone with a high-powered sniper can see the runway.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone with unassisted eyes can see the runway. Anybody with a gun could easily see the...
Yeah. So they shut down the whole airport for about a 2 or 3 hour period. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so then I was just getting all my news from Twitter. And I was like, I was kind of concerned because as I drive home, I drive past that hill, or I guess on the public transportation. I'm like, should I wait until this is over, until I go home? And they actually, like, it was over and done with before I got off work. But yeah, Twitter was how I was getting all my updates.
Yeah, there's a lot of this little... I mean, the science of Twitter as a social forum is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's also filled with shit. And, you know, that's the whole Gamergate side of this, all of this. But it's also... It can do things that are... Social media can do some very impressive things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where, like, the spread of information is incredible. Oh, right. Okay. The spread of information is, like, so incredibly fast, especially during something like a tragedy, because for me, during the SPU thing, like, in the middle of that happening, like, 10 minutes afterwards, I have my brother calling me, like, dude, what's going on? I see the news and all this, and it's like, I'm telling him, it's like, I can't talk. I'm just like, we're kind of in the middle of this, like, terrifying thing right now. Yeah. Can't really talk. Sorry. Love you, in case that's the last thing I ever say to you. And so, yeah, the spread of it, like, so there's a lot of benefit to it, and there's a lot of ways to, you know, start helping people, and then we developed a thing, a hashtag, or pray for SPU. So it's a Christian college, so everyone, yeah, that was totally acceptable to do all this. And the community as a whole, like the whole SPU community, is what really rallied together, and we all supported each other. And developing that kind of hashtag SPU or pray for SPU, like, that was totally great because it was set up by people inside their own thing. Everyone's helping out each other. The psychology department, and all the people that are able to, like, lend, like, therapeutic help, we're just, like, ready to go, helping everybody out. But it would have been weird to see anyone outside of SPU trying to kind of do something about it, because it's like we are our own people. We're able to help out. It's like the event is over, nothing's going to change. But what they really did is they also did focus on the hero who stopped the shooter, which was I'm not sure if he wants his name much, even though it is probably plastered all over the place. John Meese. Like, everyone started helping out that guy and, like, just wanted to check in and make sure he was okay, out of the fact that he was dealing with some psychological stuff afterwards, and, like, he had a fiance, and they, like, people donated to help fund a wedding for him, I'm pretty sure. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that they're doing to help out John and thank John for doing what he could, but there was not a lot of people, like, outside saying, like, oh, thoughts are with SPU. I had a lot of people contact me directly, which is a great thing to do, where it's like people that weren't at SPU and knew that I went there, they reached out, and they're like, Doc, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I'm fine. Everything's good, happy, made a post on Facebook. I'm probably going to be silent for a while as I curl up and think about life. So, but again, let's translate this to, like, the tragedy in France and in Europe and, you know, and all that. And, like, if you really want to make a difference, if you really want to do something, I don't think doing anything on Facebook or anything like that is going to do any tangible change. As well as Alex said, you want to do help that is actually wanted, where it's like, if they're saying, And like if Japan is saying, like Japan was saying, don't send us money. We're good. Give it to the Philippines.
Yeah.
Whereas, and if France is like, don't do this, help in this way. Like here's ways that you can help. We, France, have set up ways that you can help us out if you're interested because we know there's a lot of caring hearts and a lot of caring people mm-hmm. that want to yeah. do something. Yeah. I don't like these banner things where it's like, oh, I'm changing my banner for the sake of, it's like, that's still kind of making it about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you're not doing anything to directly help. You're just saying, I'm thinking about it. And, like, look at me, think about them. Like, how great am I to think about them?
And I understand wanting to, like, note that you are aware and you're thinking about something, but some, like, I mean, personally, and this is not against people who are changing their Facebook profiles, their pictures, their banners, their status updates, but, like, instead of take, if you're in a time crunch and you want to do something nice for these events and for the people who are part of them, instead of taking a minute to change your profile picture and your status and all this other stuff, like take that minute and research what France or whatever location or whatever event that has happened, like what do they really want? You know, and sometimes that can be the most helpful thing of all.
Yeah. And the one thing I will say is generally speaking, especially Americans love to just do their little digital media thing and then kind of move on and forget it happened. And it was interesting to see some of the... Because I was listening to BBC, because the minute I found out there was an attack, I go to BBC because they'll be a little later in their information, but they always make sure it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
And also this was happening in Europe, BBC.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see the differences in all the reporting styles. But also... Share like information, not just because I put a lot of time into putting up on, yeah, Paris, like what happened in Paris was awful. Don't forget about Beirut and Baghdad.
Yeah.
Don't forget about what's happening in Syria still constantly all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of it of, and this gets political, just a little bit with the Islamophobia that's running around and people talking. My mom turns, you know, kind of jokingly and goes, well, Alyssa's not going to Paris anymore. And I'm like, no, that's the exact wrong reaction. That reaction lets the people who did this win.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to argue with her a bit about that. But, you know, doing things like that where I'm not directly affecting the victims in Paris or even Beirut or Baghdad, but I'm doing a little bit to help remind people, show people that the rest of the world exists.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is I haven't yet, need to look into, you know, maybe there's a charity for Beirut or for Baghdad that needs help.
Yeah. And if there is, maybe we'll do a post on...
Yeah. Or somewhere, you know, like, who knows what happened. There was a tsunami warning in Japan. I don't know if anything happened with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, in response to, like, your mom's reaction to, like, oh, yeah, Alyssa's not going to Paris anymore, even knowing this is, like, an extreme rare case of, like, this tragedy kind of happening, it's still, like, that kind of stuff can happen anywhere, where it's, like, the world is a rough room, and you just got to take your awareness wherever you go.
And reacting with that kind of attitude is actually playing into the hands of the monsters who... caused it.
Yeah, hence terrorism. We are now terrified to do things. So, yeah, I don't know. This is very dark, and I'm sad now. Can we?
We're gonna move off of it in a second. Any final words, really quick? Ryan?
Next topic, how do we conquer depression?
Well, I was gonna
say. Oh, no!
Ryan?
I was actually getting all my news about Paris from Reddit. And for anyone that tried going on Reddit within that period, all their servers were crashed. Like, you could not... Because I was going on to actually watch a soccer game because that was going on at work. Gym, I've worked really hard, so don't think I don't. But there's a soccer... The U.S. was playing, so I was going to get it up on, like, half one of my monitors and just, like, have work on the other. And all their servers were crashing. I'm like, oh, what's going on? And that's how I found out was... So I actually opened up the live feed on Reddit, and that's how I got all my news. And I also had, like, the news feed going up from, I think, Sky in England. Mm-hmm. But they were way behind what I was getting just on the live feed of Reddit.
Yeah.
So news is completely garbage. And also, trying to, like, I guess maybe this isn't the best transition, but on my soccer team, San Diego is a large military city. There's a large base here, and a lot of there's actually a couple guys on my team that are in active service that are stationed in San Diego, and they were talking today about what's going to happen to them and how excited they are to actually go to war. And then that That's got into politics. Other
topic, yeah.
And then that got into politics and Donald Trump and how big an issue he is. And so maybe we shouldn't go down this road. Maybe
we have a different fun topic.
I am going to quickly be very careful with the information you get from social media. There was a Sikh, I think he owned a grocery store, and his picture was photoshopped to make him look like one of the attackers, and it was posted by major news site networks of him being a terrorist, and he works in a grocery store in, like, England.
Oh, no.
Reddit, there's a great picture of Reddit, somebody talking about their experience, and they use the word clip instead of magazine for the magazines in the gun, mm-hmm. and there's, like, 30 people yelling, like, you just survived a terrorist attack, but dude, come on, it's magazine. So be careful with social media in general. Like, it's useful for finding it, but generally, you fall back to using multiple sources. Like, I was looking at BBC, but I was looking at other websites constantly because the best thing you can do, especially when it's a half a world away, and you want to, you still is stay informed and don't spread misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
But now, all of that very dark, serious stuff.
Let's talk about politics.
We're gonna loop around to something Doc brought up last week, I believe. Well, or not last week, but last podcast,
yeah.
Which is the concept of the friend zone.
Wow, we're way...
Yeah, very hard swing. There's no good segue out of that.
No.
But we're also going to talk about something a little lighter for a bit.
Okay.
So let's give... let's give Doc or Newman the chance to say what they think the friend zone is.
Oh, I think it's bullshit. So there's my couple words on it.
Cool.
Why Doc? Is it bullshit?
Because it's a cop out.
Okay, cool. I can dig that.
If you don't like someone, like in a romantic way, that you then you shouldn't carry them on. So, this kind of relates to the story that happened to me last year. I actually had a buddy in college, and he and his girlfriend had been together since their senior year in high school, so 4 years in college. They were together for 4 years. And right at about the time in our last semester when we were taking the hardest, like we were taking our compilers course, we were taking our computer architecture course, like this is the hardest semester of our college career.
Mm-hmm.
He breaks up with him out of nowhere. Like, they were together for 4 years. And what she told him was like, yeah, I haven't really been feeling it for the past 2.5 years. So I think, and granted, this isn't like a friend zone conversation, but it kind of relates back. It's like, if you aren't feeling it, if you're kind of just like done with it, just fucking end it and don't drag people on because then they don't know what you're thinking.
Like, so here's, I got a piece on it. So for me, I used to rant and rave about how shitty the friend zone was, and like, friend zone's awful. It's like this is total bullshit and all this, and like I just like my emotions are just going out of control. But now that I'm older and I've grown up, like, well, air quotes, grown up, I actually feel I'm even thinking about writing an article on this for the site about the friend zone doesn't actually exist. The friend zone is a non-existent idea, and it is something that we rant about because we're not getting what we want. And that's because we are pursuing someone, and we always like are friendly and doing all these actions for them to get their attention, but it's not for the sake of friendship or building a connection. There's always some ulterior motive. And the motive is usually a relationship, or like, but the relationship, you also have like, I want to sleep with her, or kiss her face, and like, hold her purse while she shops. It's like, you're not doing it because you think.
Wait, do guys actually want to do that?
Oh, I fantasize so hard about it.
If she asks me to hold her purse, I'll tell her to fuck off.
No, I do it because it's nice.
Okay.
I just like the way it feels. It's like it's a good shoulder strap and all that. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
I'm the only girl in this room right now. Like, I gotta confirm.
So yeah. So the way I kind of started thinking about it is that every time I was doing something, and it's like I would go out of my way to do stuff in order to be like, this is how I'm going to get in a relationship with this person. And it was always having that kind of destination that would probably sour someone's feelings towards you, because it's pretty transparent as to why you are doing said actions. And so for me now, it's like I don't even worry about it anymore. I'm like, it's like, so what? If I'm in the friend zone, they should be a cool enough person to be a friend with anyway. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, it's not black or white of in a relationship, out of a relationship. You can be friends with someone, and it's totally fine. You're still getting a really cool person that you can do stuff with. So all my actions, like, I'm trying to never have an ulterior motive. I'm just trying to be real and genuine. So the things that I do for people, that's how I would do for a friend. Or, like, I'm doing it because I generally want to do this for that person. Or I'm asking them about their day because I generally want to know. It's like, you're going up and you're doing a presentation on RNA for a biochem thing? Tell me about that. That sounds incredible, because I'll never get that experience. And and so my concept of the friend zone is that it's just something that we've made up to rant and rave about how we're not getting what we want. And I honestly think it's like, you can totally be friends with people. Friends are a great thing. I have tons of friends, and I'm happy about that. And eventually you find someone where it totally fits and makes a relationship. So it's just a way of complaining. It's like, right now I'm unhappy, and it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault.
Yeah. And I'm gonna real quick, just in case, I sincerely doubt there's anybody listening who doesn't know what the friend zone is, given that it is a very...
So prevalent.
It's a critical point in most pop culture, including all the stuff you get on the Disney Channel as a kid.
It's in the zone.
Or, like, Danny Phantom, or just about anything that is high school has a friend zone.
Hey, talk about zeitgeist, am I right? Because geist means ghost in German. No. Danny Phantom. Oh, I'm hilarious. Boom, 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 boom.
Doc, shut up. But basically, it's the idea that somebody you are romantically interested in, or sexually interested in, depending on your... has been like, you're a friend to me, and the idea is that means that you are not going to end up having a romantic and or sexual relationship with the person later. It's the way people like to interpret it as, oh, well, I'm just friends. Okay, that means nothing else. And it's a way for you to be like, well, I like you, but you think of me as a friend now, which means, all right, well, they can't do that anymore. And it sounds really stupid if you're a rational adult now, but trust me, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Oh, it's a big deal.
It's huge deal. Yeah. And there's a whole other conversation, especially from...
quote-unquote, like, now that I know that it does, I believe it doesn't exist. But I was friend-zoned by so many people, and I was, like, always angry, and it's, I listened to so much metal music because of it.
Yeah. And it's not a... If you, like, all the guys, especially, had this experience where they're like, oh, I'm friends, I'm the pissed. And, you know, now we're like, yeah, it's bullshit. But the fact that we did it as kids is not, doesn't make us bad people. It makes us products of our environment. Mm-hmm. What matters is that we're growing up past it.
Yeah.
So if you believe in the friend zone and you're 20 years old, stop.
Stop.
Yeah, don't.
There's Ryan. Stop.
Like, you obviously have more problems than it's obviously not the woman's fault. It is clearly your fault because you still believe in the friend zone in your 20.
And I think the big part of it is I'm making friends with you because I want to then, you know, prove how awesome I am so that you will sleep with me and or have a relationship with me that is romantic. And that's not the way you build a natural, healthy relationship.
Yeah.
That's how you break them.
Yeah.
And I can speak as a girl on that point, actually, because I'm the only girl here right now, and actually, probably, like, most of my teen years, and I was friend-zoned, technically, like, I had that moment, too, and then I started to realize how I felt when guys said that I friend-zoned them, because, by the way, I apparently flirt with everybody, and I have no clue about it, because I just try to be a nice person. I don't know.
Hey, yeah, you're obviously flirting when you have a conversation with someone.
Yeah, but it became really frustrating for me because I'm flirt deaf. You know, people who are tone deaf, I'm flirt deaf. I just don't recognize it. People, like, I would hear from my female friends, like, oh my gosh, you friend zone so-and-so. And I would get really angry when I found out what friend zone was because I'd be just sitting there going, wait, so you're telling me that the time that they were talking to me about, like, a hard day that I had or when we went out to, like, go, you know, on a random adventure, like, we were doing XYZ, like, which is a friend thing to me, they're thinking that this is going to lead to...
Yeah, like, and
they were taught it.
Yeah, that's so mean because it kind of robs the value of that friendly act.
For me, that was really harsh because for me it was this realization of, oh, so I don't actually matter is what you're saying. Like, me as a human being, I don't matter. What matters is the potentiality to date me or to, like, get me in bed. Mm-hmm. So all these things that I thought were, like, so sweet, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have the best friend ever, meant nothing. Which is especially hard because as a girl, like, I grew up not wanting the big white dress. I grew up being like, I want to be with my best friend type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but if you can't be a friend, then...
See, yeah, and that's kind of what I was talking about, where it's like, because what I'm saying is, like, be a friend to everybody and do all that. It's like, do only what you're interested in out of the fact that when you do find someone who connects with you on that level and becomes sexually interested, like, there's a lot of people where it's like, I talk to them and very friendly to them, but I'm also sexually attracted to them. It's just what it is. But I don't talk to them specifically, like, if I talk to them enough, they'll sleep with me. No, yeah. It's like, I reach
it's
out to them.
It's not a BioWare game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
it's not Mass Effect, it's not Dragon Age. If you give them enough gifts, you're not going to magically build relationship points to the point where you'll
sleep. But the point I'm trying to make is that like, I'm just friendly to someone, and then if we eventually click to that point where it's like, oh no, we can totally see being in a relationship, then boom, we got it, we're happy. And then, but if not, if you're like feeling the energy and you're just like, no, a relationship's not going to work, or do whatever, like, this is not the right person for me, then you can still, you got a friend, boom.
Yeah.
You got a good person that you can hang out with.
See, I think this brings up a good point. Do you treat people differently that you're possibly romantically inclined with other than new friends of the opposite gender?
Programmed to do it.
Yeah.
You have no choice in the matter. And this is the split. Sorry, Sunny, we'll let you talk, I promise.
No, it's fine.
This is the split. It's, you know, I am more likely to talk to somebody who I find attractive than I am. It's what your brain is wired to do. The difference comes up of, I'm going to talk to you because I think you're cute. Oh, hey, we get along really well. Like, and then the conversation is, I'm not going to go, hey, you know, I'll take, like, let's go do this thing. I'll pay because, you know, that means I'm going to build points and she'll... It's, no, hey, let's go hang out because I want to talk to you more. I want to get to know you more as opposed to, oh, yeah, I'm building points toward this mythical relationship mark.
That's where, like when I work on my laptop out of the SPU sub a lot, the student union building. So I work out of there a lot, and then I see a lot of young, attractive college girls walk by. And all I do is just go, oh, that person's attractive. I just notice, like, oh, that's an attractive person. But I don't think I should go talk to them and try and do all this, because it's like, odds are we're not going to have common interests, and it's going to be the most dull conversation. It's like, I would rather have a great conversation and just chat with someone that I know, like, we have common interests with and be a friend to that person, rather than having that motive of just talking to a pretty girl and doing all that, and then I get her number, and then we can talk about more useless shit, and, oh, she doesn't like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but that's okay because she's good-looking.
Yeah. Like, all right, let's have a good talk.
I actually kind of want to bring this up, and I'm sorry, boyfriend. I actually, with it, my current boyfriend, who I've been with for almost 3 years, within the first week of talking and hanging out, I told him straight up that I was not interested in dating. Ever.
How'd that turn out?
Well, actually, ironic, because I had just gotten out of a really shitty relationship. It was not exactly a healthy relationship. And I just wanted to be really straight up, because I'm horrible at flirting, but my girlfriend, who actually, like, commented on the fact that we, him and I became Facebook friends, was like, oh, he's really cute, like, you should date him. And my, and I kind of had a sneaky suspicion that there had been some conversation between our mutual friends of they should get together. So I just wanted to kind of clear that air, so to speak.
I find it funny.
Like, getting a little cuddlier than I was used to.
You and I have similar stories, but continue.
Okay, but I just told him straight up of, like, I'm not interested in anything right now, just so that you're aware. I don't know what's going on between our friends. I don't know what you've heard, but, like, I'm getting ready to go to college. I just got out of this really shitty relationship. I'm not looking for anything. If you want to be friends, like, that's great. And I also had just apparently heard about a couple guys that I friend-zoned, so that's probably why I was so upfront with him. A year and a half later, he ended up asking me out. I said no. And we stayed friends for another 2 years before he moved up to the same town that I lived in. And then I think it was another, like, 6 to 8 months before we actually got together. And we stayed friends. And the best part was the fact that, like, his response to me going, just so you're aware, I'm not looking for anything, was, okay, I respect that. And topic change.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I mean, it's the same idea as me back in school, mm-hmm. talking to people, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm sitting, like, oh, she's cute. I'm sitting next to her, talking to her. We're being sarcastic assholes the entire time, which is awesome. I love it anytime. But, you know, then she comes up that she has a boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Keep talking.
Yeah.
It's like I started talking, hey, maybe she's cute. Maybe we get along. Maybe something happened, you know. But then immediately, like, it's the difference of, well, we're getting along. Oh, she has a boyfriend. And then walking away and being like, well, screw that. Or being like, whatever. Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm not
we're having fun.
Yeah, and I'm not sharing my story to be like, guys, don't worry if you just continue to be her friend.
Yeah,
like,
that's the other thing.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's
I'm also
not
saying that, like, better relationships tend to come from just being actual friends, because if you actually get along with someone...
And are their, like, friends? Yeah.
There's a chance for things actually working out rather than having, like, a bed buddy for 2 weeks and then realizing that you can't stand whatever they're passionate about and just wanting them gone.
Yeah, see, that's where most of, like, I don't go on a lot of second dates with certain people out of the fact it's like on the first date I realize it's like, wow, I would even have a tough time just being a friend with this person. Like, we just don't have enough in common. And, like, it's – and, like, for me, I'm a person whose passion kind of bubbles, like, clearly at the top. And I just – I voice all the things that I'm passionate about and doing all this. And if they don't get that, that just doesn't – it. I can tell it's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. And – so for a lot of my friends, like, I had a lot of people, it's like, oh, why don't you date that person? I think they're interested in you. I was like, yeah, but it's like, yeah, they're interested in me, but it's like, I know it's not going to be a good relationship. I'm not interested in them, which is fair for me. It's like, you know, it's just not going to work, or maybe I'm not in the right place. And it's like, being a friend to I'm just saying, be nice and happy and be friends with everybody.
Yeah. You
know? Well, okay, no, don't be friends with everybody.
Just go up to them and kiss them at gay bars and just have fun.
Oh, no.
That's how you do it.
Don't be friends with everybody, because there's a lot of people you probably, you know, you're not going to get along with. Or
oh, yeah. Like, the quality friendships is a different topic entirely. But, and I'm just saying, like, friend zone doesn't exist. I'm trying not to repeat the same points I've talked about before. I always fear that I do that. It's like, we get it, Doc, move on.
Honestly, like, the biggest thing is, like, don't expect anything from people based on your friendship, because humans in real life, I'm sorry to tell you, but we're not like video games where you can stack up points and eventually you'll get, you know, X prize. And that is for guys and girls, because I've now started to see girls do the whole thing of, like, oh, but if I just do this, then he'll... date me, or
just make him food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's stupid, frankly. Like, I'm sorry, but I feel like that's really stupid, and I feel just.
Although I'll take anybody who wants to try to cook for me, because I'll take anybody. I'll try anything that you cook.
Oh, is that why you dragged me to Extra Life so I'd cook for you?
Yeah, and it worked.
I have not died of starvation yet, so that's impressive. But
there you go.
Anyone wants to cook?
Yeah, Ryan, what's your thought? I mean, the rest of us have been talking.
I think it does exist, but I think the only reason that it does exist is because people aren't front about their feelings. So, like, for example, a girl knows a guy is sexually, romantically interested in her, but she doesn't want to hurt her feelings or his feelings, so she kind of doesn't say no. She always just, that's just, I mean, obviously
that's
not.
That's more of a her manipulating him kind of thing. That's where the friend zone exists if the person you're interested in is a bitch.
Exactly.
Or a dick if he's a guy.
Exactly.
Sunny, go.
I'm going to be very blunt right now. I am sorry, males. I apologize. I have been taught as a female, thankfully, because I've been raised by a single father, to say, fuck you if a man's scaring me, and then get the fuck out of Dodge and, like, utilize my friends. But there are a lot of females who have been taught into submission, where if a guy likes them, they won't directly say no, because they're scared of what will happen. I have a lot of friends who have attempted dating sites online. There are a lot of stories out there. Guys will approach them and say really creepy things, and girls will say, you know, no, thank you, like, thanks for the interest, and they're very polite. But then the guy's automatic response is, you're such a bitch, I didn't like you anyways, da-da-da-da-da. And
I should now retract my bit about what I said, because now that makes me sound like a monster person.
Well, okay, no. Like, there are manipulative people out there who will...
Yeah, that's true. Like, what I was saying is supposed to be about...
Doc, let her talk.
Well, there are people out there who, and this is for girls and guys, I'm not being specific about gender, but, like, you know, I'm going to keep on doing X because if I don't say anything, I'll keep getting the goods out of this.
Mm-hmm. Which was who I was directing my remark towards.
Yeah, exactly. And that is true. But then there are also people out there, and this could be for guys, this could also be for girls, but I know, especially for girls, that a lot of us are taught socially, you don't say shit that will make the person who's interested in you mad, because that's when the bad stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of that. And I really, Ryan actually almost said the right words, and then he said some of the wrong words. The friend zone does exist. It is a very real thing, and it's from the expectation of, I was nice to you, now give me sex. And or, you know, it's not the person's fault who is, quote-unquote, doing the friend zone. Most cases. Like, mm-hmm. like
most
we also,
cases.
There are manipulative
areas.
There
are exceptions to the rule, always.
But it is the person who is feeling as if they have been friend zoned because their expectation was, I gave you a present, now love me.
Yeah, that's a good point, that the friend zone only exists because you're inflicting it on yourself.
Yeah, and it's you
that's
go into something with an expectation of getting something else out. It's why... knowing, you know, it's why you go talk to a cute girl, because, hey, maybe she's single and we'll get to know each other and maybe we like each other, isn't a bad thing, because you're going into it with a, maybe this will happen, not, hey, I was nice to her, I bought her a drink, now give me sex. That's very much the difference, is, hey, maybe something happens, we'll work it out, or I expect A and B, and this is why you see guys complain about it more than any, because men are taught that we should, if we're nice, if we're a nice guy, we should get it. That's like the thought process is, men get what they want. And like I said, you'll see it in everything. And
games, movies.
Yeah. Bond is interesting, because Bond is now trying, and what's his name? The new Bond guy. Or the current guy. Daniel Craig. Somebody asked him in an interview, they were like, what do you think about Bond? Is he, you know, isn't he... something about romance, and he goes, no, he's a womanizer, he's abusive, he...
Isn't that actor in a lot of trouble right now, too, for saying all that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, it's also his last Bond film.
Yeah.
He
doesn't care. But it was interesting, because he goes, no, it's not romance. Like, this is the first time maybe we see Bond in something of a real relationship in a long time.
Yeah.
Although the movie is apparently horrible, I haven't seen it yet. But seeing him say that, Bond is idolized as a male... figure. He's what men should want to be, and have the actor be like, he's a horrible human being to just across the board, and really bad to women. And
it's
so
also a character that was created like long ago.
Yeah, in a long, in a, you know, time.
In a very
long,
different age.
Yeah. But it's these things. It's this thought process where this, you know, Bond is a good example of, oh, yeah, he expects this to happen. And because it's Bond, it does happen. But that doesn't mean, and then teaches everybody else that it should happen to them.
And unfortunately, we should probably end on this note, although it's a little sour, I guess? I don't know.
It wasn't a happy episode, but it was an informative episode.
But it's, you know, like, this is information that we should actually be talking about. Because, like, you know, Doc, like, and this is not harping on you, but, you know, like, you said something which is true, but it's also usually the exception rather than the rule. Yeah. And this is, like, you know, about Paris and the donations and, like, these are topics that we should kind of be aware of, even
this
though
is our world.
They're not really the most fun to talk about. Yeah. So to close off, we'll do our linkages, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you want to start out,
Doc, go ahead first, because I do everything.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Doc Von Derwin, and stay tuned for articles on the website, which are probably just going to be, like, sad now after this podcast. It's just so such a bummer.
No. You have a fun one coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one's going to be great. But, yeah. So, that's me.
Newman.
Hit me up on MySpace. You can be in my top 8.
Do you actually have a MySpace?
No.
Make a MySpace. If you're going to make this joke, you have to have one.
It's brilliant. Because he uses Google Plus and now MySpace.
I will make a MySpace right now.
Exactly.
Okay,
you can add me on Grindr.
You can be... we talked about this earlier. So, as I'm creating a MySpace, it says, would you like to link in your Facebook or Twitter?
Do it. Seneca, anything for you while Ryan's making a MySpace?
I will not be getting a Twitter. That's been the joke that they'll get me onto a Twitter. I may be considering an Instagram, maybe, if I have to have some sort of social media where people can find me.
I can see you having an Instagram account.
Mm-hmm. I can put the picture of my Nana with the letter.
See ya.
But actually, I want that letter.
No.
No, not that letter. The whole let's get your grandma to write a thing for us.
Oh, maybe.
That an article. Yeah. I thought you meant take the letter from.
Well, that's what I'm like. No, that was her 102nd birthday gift. Back off, bro.
I have just created a MySpace.
All right, Ryan. What's your MySpace?
MySpace.com/Numinator29. Hit me up. You can be in my top 8.
I think you mean http://?
Nope.
all right. And I don't have a MySpace because I'm not stuck in the 90s and early 2000s. You can find me at Redbeard on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook under my writer page at Alexander Pineda. I never use it, and I apologize for everybody who is actually following me there. It's because everything else happens. Or you can follow us at Pliss Official on Twitter, Pliss Official on Twitch, and we actually might start using Twitch more often now that I've gotten in the habit of using it a little bit.
Hey, there you go.
You can find us at Podcast Lost in Space on Facebook, or podcast at podcastlostinspace.com. When in doubt, Google search Podcast Lost in Space, because you'll probably find us. Our name is really unique. Pliss isn't unique, but Podcast Lost in Space is.
Yeah, my brother thinks that we just do podcasts about, like, the movie and TV show Lost in Space.
No.
That's honestly what he thinks.
Probably watch that.
What's
I've never seen that.
Alan.
Wait, no. Okay, everybody, say goodbye.
Yeah.
All right, bye. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching.
Listening.
And watching. Some of you watched.
Okay, but thank you for those who are listening to us on iTunes.
How many watchers do we have right now?
We'll talk about that off the show. We won't. Yeah.
This is a mess.
End it. We're all set.